The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is by Walter Pendleton. Visit us on the website at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that is www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
If you have a Bible with you this morning, if you're able to, take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's Paul's second epistle to the church at Corinth, chapter 5. And I want to read one verse as a text this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. Listen to what Paul wrote. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What a glorious statement. What a statement filled with divine mystery. Paul the apostle here is clear. God the Father made Christ, that's God the Son, sin for us. That's what he said. For he, that is God the Father, hath made him, that is Christ the Son, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Christ was personally impeccable. He knew no sin. We read that in our text. He did no sin. We read that from Peter. In 1 Peter 2, verse 22. In Christ was no sin. We read that from John in 1 John 3 and 5. And he could not be convinced of sin. We read that in John chapter 8, verse 46, our Lord's own words. And yet, he was made sin. He was made sin with the purpose design that those for whom he was made sin, that they might be made the righteousness of God in Christ himself. Not just made the righteousness of God, but that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, either God was doing, is doing, and shall do his purpose design, or God is a failure. And I tell you, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Scripture, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is no failure. God has never tried to do anything. I want you to hear me now. And listen to thus saith the Lord. Listen, this is who God says he is. And listen who God the Father says he is, and recorded by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 46. And listen to what he says. Verse 8, remember this, and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. Now, that's what God the Father said about himself. But now listen to what God the Father said through the prophet Isaiah about the Son in Isaiah chapter 42. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment and the truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he hath set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and I will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare before they spring forth. I tell you of them. Do you see it? God says, I will do what I purpose to do. And God said, my servant, mine elect, that was Jesus Christ, he shall not fail nor be discouraged. Anyone who preaches that God the Father in Christ the Son made salvation possible for all is a liar. The Word of God never teaches any such lie. Anyone who preaches that God the Father sent Christ the Son to give all mankind a second chance is preaching a false God and a false Messiah and a false gospel, and he's not called of God and not ordained of God, and his message is the lie of Antichrist. Two things. Now listen to me now. Two things here. The free will, God loves everyone crowd, does not preach that Christ was made sin. You hear me? Oh, they may say it. They may read through it. They may mention it, but they don't preach that Christ was made sin. Anyone who knows even a jot or tittle of this truth would recoil at the thought that Christ was made sin was nothing more than an attempt of the Father and the Son. Christ was made sin, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And secondly, anyone who says that Christ was made sin and yet teaches that anyone for whom Christ was made sin will never be made the righteousness of God in Christ, that person knows not even a jot or tittle of God's justice, of God's wrath, or of God's mercy and God's compassion. Yea, they don't know anything about God's word. What does it say? For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And the might is not contingent upon anything in us. It was contingent upon the fact that he was made sin. Do you see it? It has nothing to do with us. It's the fact that he was made sin. Again, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Who am I? Who am I to try and define or explain Christ made sin? I can't do it. And neither can any other man. So who am I to try to define or explain this? But the scriptures do declare that Christ was made sin, and it declares the very details of him being made sin. No, it doesn't define it. It doesn't explain to us how this happened. It's beyond the human comprehension. It's as when God said through the prophet Isaiah, my ways are above your ways. My ways far exceed your ways. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Let me give you a few things here this morning concerning Christ made sin. Specifically four things from the scripture. First of all, Peter put it this way. Listen to what the apostle Peter said. He put it this way. In 1 Peter chapter 2, he wrote these words, speaking of Jesus Christ, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Do you hear what that says? Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Do you see it? Let me ask a few questions here. Peter put it that way, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Here's the first one. Where were the sins of those for whom he bore them? When he bore them, where were their sins? Their sins were in his body. That's what the book says. I can't explain that. I don't have to explain that. I'm here to declare it, to proclaim it, to preach it, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Here's the second thing. When were we healed, and by what? We were healed when he died on that tree, and we were healed by stripes. That's what Peter says. Here's the third question. Who did this work? The shepherd and the bishop. That's what he says. The shepherd and the bishop. A shepherd has a sheep. A bishop is over a specific people. And here's the fourth question. Who are these people? It is those who are now dead to sins. So we see the Apostle the Apostle Peter was clear. Jesus Christ, the sins that he bore, the sins for whom he bore them, when he did bear them, and he bore them on the tree, and he healed when he was on that tree. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. That's the way the scripture puts it. But now here's even more. If you're following along, turn to Psalm 22. Turn to the 22nd Psalm. And the psalmist put it this way. These are Christ's own words. I know that because look at verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's a direct prophecy of the direct and exact words Christ said when he hung on the tree. Look at what it says. Verse 16, they pierced my hands and my feet. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 18. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 22. I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation while I praise thee. The Apostle Paul says in Hebrews, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And now listen how the psalmist put it about him being made sin. Listen, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why thou art so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Do you hear it? He was forsaken of the Father. Why? Because he says it. The next one, verse 3 rather. But thou art holy. You see, when he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, God the Father, seeing those sins in his own body while he hung on the tree, and God Almighty turned his back on the Son. So much so that in verse 6, this is what our Lord Jesus Christ, these were his very thoughts and words while he was on that tree. Look at verse 6. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. That's what he says in verse 14. I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of the earth. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierce my hands, my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me, they part my garments among them, and cast lots upon my vesture. But be thou not far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise me. Go on and look at what he says. He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you see that? This is the way the psalmist put it. But the psalmist also put it another way. Look at it in Psalms chapter 40. Turn to Psalms chapter 40. Again, remember, we're talking about, even as Peter said, that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he hung on that tree, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And we see that doing so in Psalms chapter 22, the psalmist prophesied that he would be forsaken of God. And he was. Why? Because the holy God seen sin in his own Son. And remember, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But now again, in Psalms chapter 40. And it's clear that this is a messianic psalm, speaking directly of Jesus Christ, because in verse 7 it says, Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O God. And again, the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 10 that this is Jesus Christ. These are the words of Christ. And oh, listen to verse 12. Listen to verse 12 of Psalms 40. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Do you see that? Mine iniquities. What iniquities? Not his own personal iniquities, but the iniquities that God had made him to be. The iniquities that God had put in his own body when he hung on the tree. The iniquities of his people. The iniquities of his chosen. The iniquities of the elect. Mine iniquities. He owned our sins as his, because God the Father had made him to be sin for us. I can't explain those words to you. I can't define to you all that this is saying. I can't explain it. I can't go into details, but I simply know this is what the Scripture says. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me. Do you see it? Oh, what a word. Listen to it. Be pleased, verse 13, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Oh, do you see Jesus Christ here? As he was made sin, as he bore a people's sin in his own body on the tree, do you see him crying out, what, against his enemies? Ah, but for those that seek the Lord, for those that love his salvation and say continually, the Lord be magnified. But the psalmist wasn't done. We see him clearly putting it in Psalms chapter 22, clearly being forsaken of the Father. We see it in Psalm chapter 40, or the 40th Psalm, rather. We see him owning the iniquities that he bore in his own body on the tree, owning them as his own. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me. But now I want you to turn to the 69th Psalm. Turn to the 69th Psalm. The 69th Psalm is also a messianic psalm. And it is the very words of Jesus Christ, the very thoughts of Jesus Christ penned down by the psalmist. It's a psalm of David. And he's speaking about Christ. How do I know that? Verse 4 says, they hate me without a cause. This is directly referenced in the New Testament as pertaining to Jesus Christ. It also says in verse 9, for the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen on me. That's again in the New Testament said to be speaking directly of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 21. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. That's exactly what happened to Jesus Christ when he hung on that tree. Do you see it? This is a psalm about Jesus Christ. This is his own words, his own thoughts, when he was made sin for a people, when he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And listen to what it says here. Listen to what verse 5 says. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Christ saying this? Yes, but they were not his sins personally. They were our sins that he bore in his own body on the tree. He owned them as his own. My foolishness and my sins are not hid from thee. Look at verse 7. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame. Do you see it? Shame hath covered my face. And listen to what he says in verse 19. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I have looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, and I found none. And he says, and they gave me gall to drink. Do you see, this is his words, his very thoughts when he hung on that tree. When he was made sin for a people. When he was made sin for his people. When he was made sin for the elect. And he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, do you see that? This is clearly what the psalmist prophesied and clearly what took place. Now listen to verse 6 again. Listen to verse 6 of chapter 69 or the 69th Psalm. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Do you see that? Don't be ashamed of this. If you're ashamed of this, you do not know Christ. You do not know Christ. Here's what he said. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Do you see it? That's the words, the very words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praying for his people when he hung on that tree. Praying for his people when he bore their sins in his own body on the tree. Praying for his people when he was made sin for them, that they might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, Not only that, I want you to read with me the rest of the 70th Psalm, starting in verse 21. And clearly it's speaking about Christ and when he hung on that tree. Verse 21, they gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Remember, this is what Christ was thinking and praying on that tree. Let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold on them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten. Do you see it? And they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Oh, do you see the words? Look at that. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten. Speaking of himself. And they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. How were those wounded? We were wounded in him. He was bearing our sins in his own body on the tree. Do you see it? If you're one of his, this is what he says. And he goes on. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me on high, up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor, and despiseth not his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. For God will save Zion, and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. To anyone who hears the sound of my voice, and you have great concern for your soul because you see your corruption, you see your utter ruin, your sins, you see them for what they are, crimes against God. You deserve to be forsaken of God in the black, black pit of hell forever. You know that your sins have stained your very soul, heart, and mind before God. And yet, it may be that you find hope in these words. You see, listen to me. When Christ was made sin, these things were clearly true. I don't have to try to explain how it took place. I can't explain how he was made sin any more than I can explain how he was made flesh. Oh yes, we know he was born of a virgin. That still don't explain it. Born of a virgin, does that explain it? No, of course not. It certainly is the truth, but that's what it is. He was made flesh, but he was also made sin. And when Christ was made sin, these things were clearly true. Those sins which he bore in his own body on the tree. Do you hear me? Those sins which he bore in his own body on the tree, they became his sins. This is what he said in the Psalms. Mine iniquities. Christ prayed while on that tree for some. And he also prayed against others. And this is the message that this Antichrist, false Christianity, refuses to preach. But this is the truth of God. This is the way it is. This is the God of heaven and earth. You see, my only hope, your only hope, is that when this was done, when God the Father made Christ the Son to be sin, my only hope, your only hope, is that he did that for us. My only hope is he did it for me. Your only hope is that he did it for you. That's the only hope. The scripture puts it this way. I believe it was the Apostle Paul. That's neither here nor there this morning. But in Hebrews chapter 1, the Apostle put it this way. Hebrews chapter 1. Listen to what he says. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Do you hear that? This is Jesus Christ. This is the apostle describing Jesus Christ. But then listen to the last few words here. Who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself, do you hear that? When he had by himself purged our sins. When did he purge our sins? He did it one by himself. And look, when he by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. You see, if my sins were purged, if your sins were purged, they were purged when Jesus Christ died on that tree by himself. My only hope is that my sins became his. Your only hope is that your sins became his. My only hope, your only hope, is that when he died on that tree, my only hope of healing is that when he died on that tree, he bore my sins in his own body on the tree. And in light of that, we see the glory, at least somewhat of the glory, veiled as it may be by our finite minds and our finite understanding. We see a little bit of what Paul meant when he wrote these glorious words in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made, what? Think about it. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him, that is in Jesus Christ. May it be that God uses this message to bless your soul by his truth.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15 in Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Come hear Christ preached.